there is hope. Amen? So the title of this evening's message is Hope for Your Family. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your Scripture, and help us, Lord, to listen to it tonight and be wrapped around in it and get into it. And I pray, Father, that no one would hear my voice tonight. I pray that they would hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. God, you are so good to give us your word. Help us, Lord, to take this verse written so long ago to people who were a lot more poor than we are and had probably a lot more problems than we have. And it sustained them, and it sustains everyone who puts their hope in you. Help us tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, tonight I am praying that everyone here would do as the Scripture says and abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. But in order to do that, we must understand what is hope. What is this verse talking about? We read verses in the Bible and we kind of go, oh, you know, what is hope? It kind of becomes an obscure term. Well, hope is that which says to your heart that my best days with God are just around the corner. Hope dreams of God's best and God's glory no matter what is going on and no matter what the cost is. Hope is the belief that God can change your family. Amen? And that begins with me, right? And you. It begins with the personal pronoun. So there is not any situation that God cannot change. There is not any hopeless person out there. Amen? No such thing. Not as long as we have an omnipotent God. And I can tell you stories, and you can all tell stories. I know of children that have been in the most horrible situations and given their lives to horrible things, and parents devastated by it, but had hope and prayed. And I know one of those children is in the ministry today. God can do anything. And as long as God is on the throne, there is no such thing as a hopeless situation. Amen? Do you believe that there is an omnipotent Father in heaven who can do anything and can change any situation? Does God still work miracles today? Then there is hope. That's what hope is. You know why I know there is hope here tonight? Because I know that God loves you and He is working on your behalf. You see, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And God is not finished with you yet. You remember that verse in Philippians 1:6, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that we have a Heavenly Father who knows more about my wicked heart than I know about my wicked heart. I'm so glad that I have a Heavenly Father that can guide us every step of the way. Aren't you glad for that? I sure am. And you know what? God wants to do a miracle in your family. He wants to do that. But you know what? If you're looking for a miracle to happen, this is what we always do. Lord, I pray for that miracle for my wife. Lord, I pray for that miracle for that disobedient child of mine. Don't we pray that way? I pray that way, but that's wrong praying, right? Why should we pray for miracles for others? We need to pray, first of all, that, Lord, do a miracle in my heart. That's where it begins. And like it or not, we all have serious and impossible family problems, no matter what your state and situation in life is. How many of you have a brother or sister or father or mother or son or daughter or son-in-law or daughter-in-law or cousin or relative that is not saved? I would say that is the most serious family problem that there is. Does God save? I got to tell you a story. This isn't part of my sermon. I'm just going to tell you a story tonight. You want to know how easy salvation is? You want to know how simple it is? It is so simple. Memorial Day, the 28th, very important day. My daughter said to Mommy, she said, "Mommy, I really need to talk to Daddy tonight." And she said, "Okay, honey." And I heard that and I said, "Okay, honey, let's talk." I've had this conversation with her at least a dozen times. She wants to talk about the gospel. She wants to know, "Daddy, how can I be saved?" And normally it goes like this. I begin giving her the gospel, talking about how all have sinned. And about halfway through, she says, "Okay, Daddy, I'm ready to get up and play." "All right, good, you go. It's not time yet." And so last night, I was ready. And there was something a little different, though. I could tell that something was weighing on her. And I said, "Honey, do you know that you're a sinner?" And she said, "Oh, yes, Daddy." I said, "Well, what have you done?" And she said, "Well, I've been selfish." You know, we went through all of her laundry. You know, even a six-year-old has a laundry list of sins. At least they have it when God is dealing with them. They do need to have. They do have something to be saved from. And began to talk with her, and she said, "Well, how can I be saved?" And I said, "Well, you know that you need Jesus to wash away your sins. Do you believe that He died for you and that your sin was so bad that He needed to die for it?" She said, "Oh, yes." She said, "I'm filthy rags." So where did you learn that? She said, "Lord's Club." Amen, amen, and amen. And she said, "Well, Daddy, but how can I be saved?" I said, "Well, you believe this, right?" She said, "Yes." I said, "All you have to do is ask Him." And her eyes got wide. She said, "That's it?" I said, "That is it." She said, "Well, I want God to get me saved right now." She's got her theology right. And I prayed for her. And she prayed a sweet prayer that God would save her, that God would take away her sins, that God would that she could worship God in heaven. That's what she said. And I looked at her after we prayed, and she said, "Daddy, did God get me saved?" And I said, "I believe He did." And the weight you could see just lifted from her. Her eyes began to well up with tears. And we hugged each other and we cried together. And I said, "Let's thank God that He saved you." And I prayed, and then she prayed, and she said, "Dear God, thank you for getting me saved, and I can't wait to crown you King of Kings." It's so easy to be saved, amen? If God does it, if God's working on the heart, it's all you have to do is ask. That's it. God, that's the main problem in our families, that we don't trust in God like a little child. And if you have a family member that's lost, God can save them and He's still on the throne. But maybe you're feeling problems closer to home, and maybe everyone in your family is saved, but you are feeling your depravity. And maybe have you ever had any thoughts like these? "I just don't think that my marriage can be any different." Anybody have any thoughts like that ever? Have you ever thought this? "My child is so far gone, I just can't see him ever coming back from where he is." How about this? "I've tried to be close to my mom or my dad, but it just hurts too much and I just don't want to try anymore." Or how about this? "I just don't think God loves me or really cares about me anymore." Whoa, where did all those thoughts come from? Come on, you know where they came from. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. They came from your heart. The heart is where true thoughts and feelings and the center of man resides, and the heart, and the hearts of many of us from time to time are filled with despair about their families, feelings of fear that things will never change, and thoughts that another attempt to turn things around is just going to result in failure. But listen to me tonight. Do you believe that there is hope? Do you believe that there is a God in heaven that loves, that cares, that can reach to the heart of hearts and touch you where nobody's ever touched you before? Do you believe that? That's hope. And I have seen that in my heart. And I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Why do we forget so much? We forget so often what God can do and how great He is. Do you remember that old chorus? I looked for it in our hymnal, but I just could not find it. It's not there, but God can do anything but fail. You know that one? Sing it with me. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. You believe that? Listen, if we don't have any hope, if we don't believe that God can actually change your family, your situation, your heart, your life, we're in trouble. We just might as well pack up and go home. We're here because we believe in hope. We believe in the God of hope. Let's put it that way. Without hope, we're wasting our time. So listen. Sit back as we listen to this message and trust God for a fresh work of His Spirit of hope in your heart right now. Amen? Hope is promised, first of all. This is our first point. If you can follow my messages, this is point number one. Hope is promised. Where is it promised? Tell me, where is it promised, saints of God? You're not going to find it on the television. Amen? You're not going to find hope reading the National Enquirer. Even though it's really interesting to see how seven aliens came down to Earth and all of that. You're not going to find hope in the back of your, on the back of the Raisin Bran box when you eat your cereal in the morning. Hope's not there. You're not going to get hope by getting into some fitness program. You might feel better, but you're really not going to get into the soul because exercise profiteth little, right? But listen, hope, where is hope found? In this book divine, amen? The B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. That's where it's found. And that's because that's where God's promises are found. Scripture has so much to say about hope. And I just want to read to you some of the passages about hope to stir up hope in the furnace of your soul. God tells us that hope is found in Him alone. Turn over to Psalm 42, verse 5. Psalm 42, verse 5. Who wants to stand up and read that verse tonight? Stand up and read Psalm 42 and verse 5. Brother Kevin, I'm picking on you tonight. Read it loud. You got to pick on him. He's not going to be here a whole lot longer. Amen. Hope thou in who? In God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance, His face, His presence. That's where hope is. It's in God. It's when you see God face to face. Psalm 71 and verse 5. Somebody stand up and read that one. Psalm 71 and verse 5. Don't be shy. Amen. Brother Fred, Psalm 71 and verse 5. I'm sorry, I keep calling Brother Kenny Williams Fred, and if you notice, they don't look alike, right? Forgive me, brother. Oh, I'm sorry. You can call me Mark, call me Mike, just as long as you call me, right? All right. Psalm 71 and verse 5. Read that for us, Brother Kenny.
For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth.
Amen. From my youth. Think of the years. Some of you have been saved for years. Now think back about how you've trusted in God. Think about those hard days, those dark days. Think about them. Come on. He's been your trust from your youth. And He's never failed yet. He's been there for you. He's been there year after year, dark night after dark night. When the light shined and when the light didn't shine, He was there. He's your hope. It's nowhere else. It's in God and it's in Him alone. That's where hope is found. It's in God. You see, hope is not in your circumstances. Never has been, never will. It's not in your intellect or good sense to solve a problem. Hope is in a person. Somebody stand up and read 1 Timothy 1:1. 1 Timothy 1:1. Brother Laurel.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope.
Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. In other words, hope does not depend on your life going well. It doesn't depend on your circumstances. It doesn't depend on getting a degree in post-hole digging. Amen? PhD. You can study. And you can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't know God, you don't have hope. If you don't know the Lord, who died for you, who gave His life for you, that's where hope is found. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. Well, we see that hope is in God alone. But hope is in God alone, secondly, through His Word. Through His Word alone. We get to the person of God through His Word. This is the only place in all the universe where God has revealed Himself. Yes, go into the mystical religions of Hinduism and all you'll find is confusion. Because it's one man's opinion and another man's opinion. But the God, the living God, amen, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has revealed Himself to us in the Bible. In the Bible. And His promises are true. And we read in Romans 15:4. Turn over there. Romans 15 and verse 4. I'll go ahead and read this one. Romans 15 and verse 4. See, in God's Word, we can see how God has worked before. We can see that God has a pretty good record. And that's what Romans 15:4 says. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I think I remember when Israel was without hope, I remember a little boy named David who slew a giant named Goliath. Amen? I think I also remember a group of Hebrew slaves between a mountain and the Red Sea with an angry mob of soldiers behind them. And I think I remember God opening up that body of water so that every one of them walked on over on dry ground. With one exception, I think... the Egyptians got wet. Amen? They got wet. God has worked in the past in impossible situations. And that's the same God we serve. That's the one you prayed to all day today. Amen? You see, we worship a God who can go to the tomb of a dead Lazarus and give life to a dead man. God's promises to us will always give us hope. See, God, He always says in His Word, I'm for the impossible stuff. Don't give me this nilly-willy, possible, humanly possible stuff. No, I like the impossible stuff. He says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible for you. Matthew 17:20. See, we can trust a God that has gone on record as saying, you know what? When it seems out of reach, when it seems like it could never be turned around, give me a call. Because He says, I believe right here in this eternal record written in heaven, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great, not little things, but mighty things which thou knowest not. God is a God of hope. And I believe that God can change anybody. I think God can change a wayward child, don't you? I think there's a young man that reads Scripture here every Sunday. His name is Leron Reed. Does anybody know a fellow by the name of Leron Reed? Did he go a little crazy a few years ago? I think God turned him around. I'm pretty sure He did. I don't think it was anybody else. Brother Billy, can you testify that God can bring a person back from the brink of terminal disease? We can all say with Jeremiah 17:14, Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for Thou art my praise. Yes, God can do anything. And if you believe that, you'll have hope. But let me tell you something, hope can be stolen. Hope can be stolen. Hope is stolen by pain. We're going to get to the part next week where we can actually have hope in our family, how to get that hope. But first, I want to tell you where pain comes from. Yes, we experience pain in our jobs, with our friends, even with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But our greatest pain comes from our families. You see, a person doesn't get to the end of his life and on his deathbed and say, I wish I would have spent more time in the office. I don't think anybody gets there and says, I wish I would have traveled a little bit more. I wish I would have just accumulated a few more plasma TVs. Oh, I wish I could have just seen a couple more, Leave It to Beavers. I don't know. You know, I just wish I would have spent my time doing a little more vain things. No, when it's all over, you're thinking about your family. You're thinking about your family. First of all, you're thinking about your God. But on this earth, you're thinking about your mom and your dad. You're thinking about your children. And you're thinking about your brothers and your sisters. That's why family pain hurts the most. Family pain is debilitating. You may be here as a single person tonight and say, I'm doing right. And I'm waiting for Mr. Right or Miss Right. God, that's all I want. And there are days you may feel like it's not fair. You may feel so alone. You need some hope. But on the other end, I know that there tonight are husbands and wives out here and thinking, I've gotten married and this is it. This is what I got married for. This is what I have to look forward to the rest of my life. Distracted husbands, disengaged wives, distant relationships, feeling alone, and for the most part, suffering in silence. Can I tell you something? Married, single, don't hope in your spouse. Don't hope in your state of being. Hope thou in God, in the Lord. He never fails. And that's where our hope is. And that's where it has to be. But maybe you're here tonight and you're strong as a couple. but you're devastated by the burden of children, maybe in the home, maybe outside of the home, who are making choices that are breaking your heart. And don't worry if you think you have perfect children. Just wait a little while, because they will break your heart. Every single one of them, they will. I know. I've broken hearts myself after I've been saved. We all make sinful choices, don't we? But thank God He doesn't leave us there ever. He's a God who loves us and doesn't let us stay there. Maybe for others it's a financial burden. You look at the end of the month and you say to yourself, I've run up how much debt on my credit cards? I hope none of you have done that, but you may have. You want to know what? The problem is not your spouse, it's not your state of being, it's not your finances. There's a one word for pain in this world. You know what causes pain? Tell me. Sin. It's not that you have financial problems, it's that you have a spending problem. You have a contentment problem. It's not that you have financial problems, it's that you have a place where God wants to fill you right here in your heart, and you're filling it with other things. And that's what your problem is. It's sin. You know what, wife? Your husband does not have a communication problem. I know if you read 10 books on marriage, the first chapter is communication, right? I think we teach that too. I mean, that is true. There is a communication problem, but that's a fruit problem. But there, let's go to the root problem. Your husband has no problem communicating. Hey, Brother Klickus, you want to talk about the Cubs? Not really, okay. An honest Cubs fan. Your husband does not have a communication problem. He loves certain things and he can talk about them all day long. He doesn't have a communication problem. He has a sin problem. He's proud and he's selfish. And he doesn't want to take the time to be vulnerable to you, because he's so selfish and self-centered that he won't give of himself to you. The problem is not communication, it's S-I-N. Sin. That's the problem. That's the cause of all pain. It's sin. And I know that you want to know, how can I have hope? I'm sure you want to know, how can I get rid of these issues of sin in my life? How can I get to the root issues? And we're about to find out about that next week. Sorry, you're going to have to come back. Next week's message is entitled, Nobody Wants to Believe the Problem is Sin. So as we close, let me encourage you. Hope begins with God and with reading the Word of God. Hope begins with His promises to you. So get alone with Him and let Him whisper His promises to your heart. Be still and know that He is God. Hope is not in the changing of your circumstances. It's not in your own natural good sense. Hope is believing the promises of God. So if you have God, then you have hope to change.